Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Hey, Boniface, I really, really enjoyed that medley of Nasheed. They're beautiful indeed. And at the time of the morning where we join our very own Member of Parliament, Ahmad Mandur Sheikh Imam, he's someone that is well-loved across the globe for his political prowess and also his political opinion that he gives. Well, Ahmad Mandur Sheikh Imam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And jazakallah khair for joining us on Consciously Connected. How are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, I'm here parked in Beatles Street. And I must tell you, Brother Shabbat, if you look at the condition of the street,
you will be shocked.
Absolutely shocked at the state of these streets. And it makes you wonder what this municipality is really actually doing to keep this safe, secure, clean, hygienic. Well, anyway, on the local political front, let's say what's the latest. Latest is that the SONA debate is over. We're going to this week have the budget process. Budget speech will be on Wednesday. It'll be very interesting to see what the budgets are going to look like. I think a lot of money is going to go toward the national state of disaster as far as energy is concerned, although we believe that it is not only about money. The problems in Eskom is a lot worse than what we think it is. But very importantly, you know, even the CEO of Business Leadership South Africa is raising very, very serious concerns about South Africa that you might have another Arab uprising in South Africa, given what is going on and the number of people that remain unemployed and going hungry to bed and services are not being delivered. Tembisa Hospital, there's going to be a protest march. Now, this is exactly the point that we've been trying to raise. You are in a hurry to introduce the National Health Insurance, which is universal health cover for everybody. And there's nothing wrong with universal. That's the right thing to do. I would agree. However, the question is, are we ready to introduce that? The answer is no. You know, we have a crumbling healthcare facility in South Africa. The infrastructure is collapsing. We don't have the experts. We don't have medical practitioners in the rural towns and things. You've got over 1,000 some odd doctors that are graduated that cannot be absorbed because they don't have the necessary budget. There is, medicine stockouts where you're not getting enough medicines that are available. So healthcare is in such a poor state when you want to go and introduce it. And I really believe that the time that they want to do it is incorrect. They need to delay the whole process, get their house in order. Because remember that the moment you introduce this, there's going to be an impact. There's going to be a demand. And I think the only people that are going to make money out of this is the administrators and private healthcare facilities are going to come in here to provide the service that the public health care can't provide. You know, I've got a call yesterday from somebody. She went into Addington Hospital, diabetic, and they did not treat the toe properly to such an extent that when they sent her home there, she arrived at home and they found maggots on her toe. She had to come back there. She went to a private hospital and they wanted 400,000 rand to deal with it, and she didn't have the money. She went back to Addington now and they have amputated their toe. They were supposed to take her into surgery. They didn't. They only took her 36 hours later, and the lady ends up having a toe amputated. This is how bad the situation is. In terms of hijackings, I want to tell you, it's no more just the Golfs, the Polos, and the Toyotas. If you saw somebody were hijacked with a Porsche and a Jaguar in Kempton Park in Ekurhuleni. But another very important one is this, that a very prominent lawyer in Bellville, and believe me, Brother Shepherd, his offices are almost entirely opposite the police station. How do you like that one? And I can tell you, he was kidnapped, went missing, and he was found 460 kilometers away and was returned yesterday. And he was Gerard Cornelius de Jong. And I know this lawyer personally, very, very, very a nice person, very accommodating. He'll go that extra mile. And he was actually hijacked right opposite. And in fact, perhaps went in right into his office and took him away. And his offices are opposite the police station. Another councillor in Eastern Cape was shot dead, and this time because she was apparently counting money out in her car, but something to do with her business, I think. I think you are aware that the footballer from Ghana, his body was found in Turkey, I think a day or 2 days ago. But, you know, the death toll has exceeded 40,000 in Turkey. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy and protect those people in and make it easy for those people who lost their loved ones in both Turkey and in Syria.
Yeah, Maza, you know, you talk about the health, institutes in this country gone to ground zero also. And, the government's got money for the councillors, they got money for the, the mayors and so forth of this country, but they don't have a budget for the healthcare, or they don't care for the people, and they can't bring in these doctors because we don't have the budget. What type of argument is this, and how can we allow this argument to manifest when we, as thinking human beings, could tell the government, you know what, we are not dumb and we're not stupid. Your thoughts, Ahmed?
Well, let me tell you, there is no doubt healthcare is in a crisis in the country, like the police services and many others. And the other question is, are you getting value for money? But very importantly, we spend a lot of money in training these medical practitioners. Now, when they qualify, surely they expect you to absorb them. Now, when I've spoken to the deputy minister about 3-4 weeks ago, raising concerns about the number of them that have qualified, completed their community service and everything, and he says to me they're going to have to be absorbed by the provincial governments. Correct. Now, the provincial governments cannot absorb them. They don't have the budget for them. Okay? So it's national pushing the buck into the provincial government. The provincial government don't have the budget. And let me tell you what the response of the deputy minister was. Then the only alternative, they're going to have to go into the private sector. Now, how many private sector institutions are going to take them? They don't have the necessary experience and things. All they've done is they've graduated, they've done their comm service, and that's it. But in the public healthcare sector, where we've got a crisis with healthcare, where you need them, you need them. I can tell you, you need about 10,000 doctors in the public healthcare sector. And you're saying now you can't absorb them, they must go to the private sector. So the question is, how are you going to introduce the NHI if you don't have doctors? You know, there were these clinical associates, I think they call them. There's thousands of them that were also trained and funded by government. And they are a go-between the senior nursing staff and I think the medical practitioners, right? They are actually good for purpose to even, provide the service of a medical practitioner to a large extent if they're not there. They can't absorb them either. They can't. So how are you going to provide a good quality healthcare service to your people through this NHI if the infrastructure is crumbling? You don't have enough medicines. You don't have the nursing staff. You don't have the doctors. You know, how are you don't have a proper supply of water to the to facilities? Your energy supply, of course, that they have done away with load shedding for hospitals and things. But look at the crisis that these hospitals and clinics are facing, and you're in a hurry to introduce the NHI. Does that not tell you that it's going to collapse before it even starts? But no, let me tell you what it is all about. It's about scoring points. There's an election coming. We want to show, no, we've done this for the people. But let me tell you that the fact that it's going to fail, it's going to, you know, it's going to be counterproductive. And these people don't seem to understand that. Don't be in a hurry to introduce something until you are certain that you have a plan for it to be introduced. And currently, they don't have a plan as far as that comes concerned. And it's going to be accepted sometime this week. The thing is, it's coming for adoption in Parliament this week sometimes.
Ahmed, I'm looking at a message on the screen here. It says, Assalamu alaikum. I'm a senior doctor, but I will not reveal my name for professional reasons. But I want to tell Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam, he's sitting there at Beta Street. And I once served at the Beta Street Clinic, and it was a joy to be there. Spick and span clean, and so many of our elders used to come. Shafaz, also your late aunt, Dr. Safura Dular Khan, and your late uncle, Dr. Zafrullah Dular Khan, served there with distinction. May Allah fill their cupboard with nur and grant them Al-Jannah al-Firdaus. And not forgetting Dr. Mosam, please tell Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam to lift up his hands there in that area and make dua for those Muslims that served the community with distinction, which is near the Beta Street Clinic. But what a lovely message coming through, Ahmad. And good, you mentioned Beta Street. And once upon a time, what a lovely place and what a clean place and what brilliant doctors we had, Ahmad.
And very committed and dedicated. But let me tell you, doctors are not motivated, and jazakallah for that, my brother. Indeed, I am here, and I will make dua for them. I am parked in Beta Street. I think I'm not even, 30 seconds walk away from the clinic at the moment.
Wow.
But I can tell you it's under shocking conditions, this place, at the moment. But, many doctors are not motivated because of what is going on. I mean, can you imagine a whole lot of them that have qualified, finished their comms, they can't be absorbed. The government is not taking them seriously and not going. Now, what is going to happen eventually? More and more of your skills are going to be lost. People are leaving the country in droves, the skills, the skilled people. And these are the only people that even pay taxes. Of the 13%, it's these people that pay the taxes. But you don't. Now, imagine if all these skilled people, like the doctors, leave the country. You know, another big problem you got is your gynecologist. Nobody wants to go into gynecology anymore. Nobody. Nobody wants to practice as a gynecologist because of the corruption between lawyers and clients and the damages claims that they are getting against them. You know, so they got a major problem as far as that is concerned. But can you imagine if you're not going to absorb them in a country that has increased its population by over 20 million from 1995 to now and growing at 1 million, over a million a year? You know, if you're not going to absorb these people in now, then what does it simply tell you? That you're going to have a serious crisis. As bad, if it's bad today, can you imagine what it's going to be like in 10 years' time?
You know, Ahmed, you're bringing up a point here that the gynecologists are under severe pressure by the law. Yeah, the lawyers. But I thought that the dentists were the most susceptible to litigations and all that, because, you know, a lot of things go wrong when, the dentist gets involved with you, Ahmed.
No, I can tell you now, the focus of attention now, and yes, there, to some extent, there's been a lot of claims against dentists, but the focus of attention appears to be on gynecologists at this point in time. And you can speak to any gynecologist, particularly in the private sector, and it's for both public and private sector, but just speak to them, and they will tell you, you know, they're sitting on a knife's edge, you know. And unscrupulous lawyers also are laughing all the way to the bank, working with these guys. It's the same thing that they've been doing with the road accident fund and things. Gynecologists, from my what I've been told, there's hardly anybody wants to go into gynecology now, and that's the problem you've got.
Well, Ahmad, I'm looking at an article which says ANC Deputy President Paul Mashatile's bid to take over the post of Deputy President David Mabuza in the government got a boost this week when ANC Secretary General Fikile Mbabula told the ANC Parliament caucus that Mashatile's arrival in the union building was imminent. What do you make of this Mashatile's thing? You know, will he be the next man in charge?
Well, they are very close. Mbalula and Paul Mashatile are very, very close. I think to some extent the president is reluctant, but might end up with no choice given the fact that Didi has decided that he's going to, good president has made that announcement. So I think the president is going to be left with no alternative. But I can tell you that the president is sitting on a ticking time bomb, because I think he's afraid that Paul Mashatile, together with the influence of Mbalula and Zuma camp and many others, are going to put pressure to have him removed and Paul Mashatile becomes the president of the country. It seems like it's going in that direction. It's also going to be very interesting to see who the president wants to make the Minister of Electricity. And soon you're probably going to need one for water and one for jobs and everyone else. But let's see who he's going to put. But yeah, I think Paul Mashatile is soon going to become the president of the country. our current president is going to have absolutely left very little or no choice. And that is going to be interesting because a lot of them there, can you in his cabinet currently has supported the president. So they're not necessarily pro Mashatile. And remember, Mashatile broke ranks even with the Zuma camp just before that. But I think he made a calculated move. I think he's done his mathematics well, and I think he spent a lot of money to be elected as a deputy president. His chances of deputy was greater than the president. Now that he got a deputy president position and the pressure that they can put, then he can still be the president by removing Cyril Ramaphosa. And I think that's when Zweli Mkhize went wrong. Where he should have done his mathematics based on 2017 and what was going on and the branches and the provinces that were supporting him and not. He could have rather gone for the deputy and then put pressure on Cyril Ramaphosa. So I think Paul Mashatile was very wise in that. And that might lead him to become the next president of the country.
Parapara is the EFF prominent standpoint now on Mashatile, Ahmed?
Sorry, say that again, sir.
The EFF, what are their standpoint on Mashatile? Are they pro him?
Well, let me tell you, they haven't been saying much about Paul Mashatile. But I'll tell you now, the day Paul Mashatile comes in, then they will start telling you everything about Paul Mashatile. Let us not forget that there's hardly anybody in the ANC leadership that is not implicated in one way or the other. So you will start getting that coming. But let us also not forget that the EFF is currently working with the Zuma faction of the ANC in KZN and all over when it comes to this coalition government that they've broken away from the IFP. So if Zuma and Paul Mashatile is going to work together, then Paul Mashatile doesn't have a problem because the EFF is working with that faction. So I don't think they will do much about it. However, remember the next year, all political parties will be focusing on attacking government and everybody else because the elections are coming now. So this is campaigning time. So that might will also urge or motivate the EFF from finding every little fault. Remember, the EFF is a party. It's got full of crises and challenges. But what they do is, you know, they say the first best form of defense is attack. And that is what they're doing. So they want the focus of attention to be to others and taken away from them. And that's the problem. I mean, imagine standing there in the podium and saying, no. Becky Kelly has asked somebody to give a statement, you know, implicating Shivambu in the murder of Godrich Gandhi's daughter. I mean, to that extent. So what happens when you something like that comes? All the attention goes there, even if there's people now, it creates doubts in people's minds. And that is what the EFF is have mastered. You know, I was told a day ago that Julius Malema and Mbalula, whenever they never used to get what they wanted from mayors, they used to go and garner support amongst the communities and overthrow these mayors. Now, to what extent it's true, I'm not sure, but that is what was said to me by people from the EFF, you know. That is what is going on. They even gave me an example of a business that you and I know, where they have been raiding this business and troubling this company. They say they're not complying with labor and underpaying their staff and whatever it is. But they have designated two people from the EFF to go out there and only two people to liaise. So anybody else goes to this particular company, they are told we're only dealing with those two people. What does it tell you? What is happening? They are getting paid. In other words, they are extorting money, that would be. It means you are extorting money from various sectors. That is why you are now becoming complacent when it comes to dealing with them. I mean, ask ourselves, why is nobody dealing with the Chinese? Why is nobody dealing with the Chinese influence in the manufacturing industry, the imports, which is shutting all our industries down, paying our workers 60 rand a day with no benefits whatsoever? Most of them are employing only foreign nationals as well. How is it nobody wants to do anything about it?
Now, very good point there, Ahmad. You know, unfortunately, time has caught up. Perhaps your parting words before I let you go?
Well, you know, you could see this hijacking incidents that has taken place. He's telling you they know, you know, it's anybody and everybody can be at risk at this point in time. This woman had two vehicles in the yard when they hijacked her. That was a Jaguar and a Porsche. But how far do you expect to go with a Porsche? They found it not long ago. They found the Jaguar, not the Porsche. I'm not sure what's the latest name. But again, look at this lawyer that was, you know, gone. They held up and taken away 460Ks away. So simply tells you that the levels of crime is increasing. If you look at the latest crime statistics, or, you know, your murders, 7,555. Look at the number of rapes, you know, assault, GBH. It means South Africa is fast becoming another Mexico or mafia state. It's going to be uncontrollable in a short space of time. So I think we're going to need to, communities are going to have to come together to protect each other at some stage.
JazakAllah khair, Ahmad Mandur Sheikh Imam. Beautiful to have you. And you have a mashallah day ahead. I will talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.